We gotta do it spy style.
The Loud House is on a mission to save the world in the ultimate spy movie.
This is our chance to be heroes. Be careful and remember to stay hydrated.
No Time to Spy, a new Loud House movie, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are here to talk about personal growth.
Yep. And one of our favorite subjects.
I know, it is. You're over there like looking super cozy. Got your hands in your pocket.
I tell you what, this is the most comfortable sweatshirt in the world. I don't wear hoodies.
You don't. You like the zip-up ones.
Yeah, because I don't like pulling stuff over my head and then having to take all the whole deal off.
Mess up your hair.
Yeah, well, mess your shirt comes up over your fat belly, you know. It's so embarrassing.
I don't know how you're taking a sweatshirt off. It seems like that never happened.
Well, the shirt sticks to the inside of it, you know, when you pull it. But you have a zipper, you can just take it off. But when you got to pull the thing over your head, you're like, okay, well,
a zipper messes everybody. With the design of a hoodie or a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
So.
I know. But this one, you can just wear it around like a shirt. It's so comfortable.
It's not super thick like a lot of normal, you know, if you get hoodie from a concert or conference or something like that. They're usually thick. I don't know. Not mean to diss Gideon, but I think that's kind of the brand that's normally what it is or something like that. And they are rough. Those ones, I don't know what those are called, but they are really great.
They are awesome. Everybody should have some.
Yeah. It's like the perfect inside sweatshirt.
It is.
Because at our house, when it becomes winter and we have the fireplace going, it's like a well, at least when you go to bed, you stock that fireplace with, I don't know, 4 pieces of oak in there, and it burns hot. Mm-hmm. So when that's not happening, it's a perfect indoor sweatshirt.
Yeah, this is definitely the fall, winter, spring, run around in all day long shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If my children were adult sizes, they would all have that, and the likeliness of all 7 of us walking out with that hoodie on would be pretty comical.
It's I call it the ranch wear. My days off, I have
have the other shirt on.
My what's that?
Discover, strength, and thrive. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And but it is it's a long sleeve.
It's my favorite. Mm-hmm. All our swag.
That is how we find what it is that we should make is we know that it has to be approved by Mr. Silk and his
it's got to be soft, you know. It's got to be like you got to be able to touch it, and it's got to go all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which totally brings us to the topic of authenticity.
Boom. Yeah. Let's just land there.
but that's what we're here to talk about is we introduced Marvel, which is your thing. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to recap what that is.
Yeah, it's just a personal growth model, organizational growth model. I have used it for years now, and books coming up on it. So that'll be fun. Lots of stories and lots of illustrations of how Marvel has worked. Mm-hmm. And we're on the A now. We're on authenticity.
Yes. And what does that mean to have authenticity in growing yourself?
Well, it's getting clear about, you know, what we talked about last time, which really has to do with who am I, mm-hmm. where am I headed, and what am I responsible for right now?
Mm-hmm. So understanding, I think that's the, when I think about authenticity and someone being authentic, it's, you know, probably someone that is clear on their identity, their calling, and their mission, because there's a piece to them. There mm-hmm. is a, I don't know if it's predictable as much as it is just, I have trust in that you're going to show up as the same person every time I encounter you or mm-hmm. in different groups. You know, there's a comedian that we used to listen to, and he would always talk about like, No, around these friends, I'm British, you know.
Yeah, don't be thrown by my British accent.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so that's, I change around the environment that I'm in. You know, that is, when you notice that in a person, you're like, oh, well, then who are you with me? Or what can I expect?
Or who are you?
Yeah. And
this is the, you know, the big challenge for children in watching their parents. Mm. And watch their parents turn into different human beings based on who they're around and who they're not around.
I'm feeling convicted right now.
Yeah.
Only in that...
You're driving.
No. I will tell you all about my driving if you want to know about my driving. But I was laughing because we were at this event and one of my girls were with me. And this lady kept coming up to me and I didn't know who she was. And... but she knew who I was and she was talking to me like that. And I felt really bad. And Adeline's like, do you know who this is? I'm like, I don't know who it is. And I, so this person comes up again and Addie goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to put on a smile and act like I know her. That's totally what happened. But I was like, I'd be friendly, but I still don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. And we kept running into this woman, but it was definitely Addie thought it was funny. She's like, you were really excited to see this woman that you don't know who she is. I'm like, yeah. I was not very authentic to the moment.
I know how to be nice. I know how to be welcoming.
That was more the goal, but I thought it was funny. Leave it to Adeline to call me out on any of those things. It's truly Adeline.
So the opposite of authenticity would be hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. That I am inconsistent.
Yeah.
And my life kind of bounces around and I'm an actor. Mm. You know, I'm just playing to the moment, playing to the person, playing to the benefit, and in essence, I'm manipulating. Mm. So a lot of, you know, when I have a broken identity and that orphan thing is at work, then there is inconsistencies everywhere, especially with the people closest to me observing my life.
Yeah.
Because they'll watch me out there be stellar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just this most amazing, fun-loving, compassionate, serving. And then I get home and I turn into Jafar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jafar is often the reference for the worst person you can think of.
I know. he's so...
evil.
He's huge. He's just huge and scary. And he kind of morphs into like snakes and different stuff.
There you go. He lacks his authenticity. Yeah. And that is very true. I think our husbands or our spouses, and our children, and if you don't have that, it's probably your next closest relationship that's in your inner circle gets to see really the confusion around who are you? Because you say you're one thing, but you act a different thing, or I experience you as this. I was just meeting with a young girl and from family coaching, and she was just talking about her experience from her father. He was scary, not a nice man, drug addict. And he kind of exposed himself to their community and everyone was baffled. They could not believe that this was who he was. And they're like, this is who he's always been with us. Mm-hmm. But it's this... in meeting with her and talking with her, she craves that the identity that everyone saw her father as was really what she got to see at home. Cause he was this helpful, nurturing, loving person, but not at home. Mm-hmm. And it is sad when we don't understand how crucial this element of authenticity is in across all relationships. Mm-hmm. It's got to show up.
And this really kind of goes back to what we talked about last week with the mission in my life is my authenticity is how do I line up with my mission? Mm. And I think that's why a daughter at home is watching someone out there look like they're accomplishing the mission, but the closer that they get to you, the more you actually see their mission.
Yeah.
And that's a manipulation. That's an act because who they are up close and intimate is a completely different person. So that gap, that's hypocrisy. The gap between who you got everybody thinking you are and who you live is they got to match up. They, mm-hmm. you know, this has got to, this is the whole healthy families are going to save the world thing. This is it.
Yeah.
Wholeness is the authentic match of your mission and your character. Mm. And I think that is, you know, so important. And this is where you become accusable. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're supposed to be beyond reproach, well, that's what it is. It's not like, oh, you do something I wouldn't do, therefore you're reproachable. Like, mm-hmm. no, I am doing what I said I was doing. I wasn't, you know, I'm not secretly having a beer over here, mm-hmm. and you are thinking that I don't. The only reason you think I don't drink a beer is because you aren't in my life. Mm. You think something else, you know. So I just want to make sure that you have an expectation of me that is authentic.
Yeah.
Because there's also the unrealistic expectations that people have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's kind of dating.
Yeah.
You know, when you're dating someone, you're like, oh my gosh, I love all the things I don't know about you. I filled in all the blanks, and you are my perfect soulmate. And then you start happening. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're not anything like I fabricated in my fantasy. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I never was trying to be that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so disappointed that you're not my fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I'm so happy to discover that you're crazy, and I'm going to get away from you. So that has, you know, there is a match between the illusions I create about who you are, mm-hmm. and the experience I have with who you are. And I'm not negating that we're going to be adjusting throughout our life together, but if you think I'm going to be your dad, mm-hmm. you know, good, bad, or ugly, I'm not. I'm not your dad. But you did come with that. You did bring that example of a father or a significant male in your life. You did bring that to the relationship. So our struggle is going to be about the adjustments you make to who I am, mm-hmm. and the release of things that I am not.
Yeah.
And so that I can be authentic in our relationship and not disappointing, mm-hmm. because I didn't live up to your...
Yeah.
Or down to. Either way,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
You didn't live up to or down to who you brought with you in your experience of your dad.
Yeah. Well, in being authentic, and this journey of, you know, we do the defining the relationship course to try and get rid of your surprise
la,
element
la, la.
And
yeah.
The la la la. But you know, it seems to be like you're trying in your mission, you're defining your non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. Like what am I unwilling to compromise on or adjust to or lower my standards to? And that is watching a teenager in my home try and figure out what are her non-negotiables as she goes out into the world. And I think there's so many more yet to come, honey.
Yeah.
But it's happening even more in Adeline's world too, and she's junior high. But it's just this, you're constantly being shown something of what will you choose?
Mm-hmm.
What will you settle for? How far is your character willing to bend to meet a selfish need or to be liked by somebody or whatever it might be? I think that's one of the being aware of, can you identify what your non-negotiables are so that they stay true in every environment?
Yeah. Yeah, your anchor points.
Yeah.
You know, like what have you actually anchored your life to, mm-hmm. so that when the storms come, and sometimes the storm isn't necessarily the external crashing waves that you didn't expect. Sometimes it's just what people in your office expect you to participate in, or people in your friendship circles, mm-hmm. you know, going to try this crazy new thing. I remember having a group of Christian ladies that I knew that went to Las Vegas together. And it was for one of their birthdays. And two of them ended up in adulterous relationships after that thing because they just blew up their anchor points and ended up in trying to impress each other or whatever. But they ended up selling their future for an evening of acceptance. And, you know, they lost their convictions. They lost a bunch. Just, it was a rough return trip for those ladies.
I remember Mom looking at that trip and going, no.
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 Not,
she would.
There's
she would,
one anchor point right there.
She would have been not, the chaperone. What are you doing?
Not going. Yeah.
That's probably why she didn't want to go. I don't want to be the chaperone.
Yeah.
There's lots of those moments. I mean, working for Bethel for years. I mean, we walked through quite a bit of crazy in the children's department. And I remember coming on the other side of it, there was just so many little negotiables that people put into play that led to affairs. And I remember the last core group that were there, I think that has influenced so much more of my, even Ben and I's relationship and you know, what we are willing to even slightly cross over a line with, you know, in opposite sex relationships, just because I'm not afraid of having a male friend, and that's not what I'm saying, but it's the, wow, what do I want to protect and how vulnerable and how intimate of a opposite sex relationship do I want to have that isn't my spouse? And is it worth that? Is it ever worth potentially introducing anything? No. Okay. Well, the line's way over here then. I remember him in, as a youth pastor, having all these young intern females, and some of them I was like, all right, I'm going to need you not to be, you know, 10 o'clock at night taking them home alone. He's like, no problem. I'm like, cool. Not all of them, just some of them. I'm like, yeah, that makes me feel better. But that's, you have to be able to have these conversations. And I think that's, especially if you're married, navigating, okay, here's something new we haven't negotiated, haven't walk through, what are we going to do together? And I think that also comes as a family, you know. I'm really curious to see what will happen when Lincoln brings home a girlfriend, because his sisters are going to be the hard barrier of culture before she even gets to us.
Yeah, well, he's already the, you know, he's watching over his sisters as a 10-year-old. You know, he's like, I saw that, and I just got so mad. Like, what? That kid was following us. He's following you? Like, walking the same direction as you? Yeah, yeah. I'm so mad at him. Okay. We have a dog like this.
But it is the, how is this going to show up? What are you, what is it that you're trying to create and protect? I think that's a big thing for me, is in your authenticity, you're protecting something.
Absolutely. You just die for it. And it feels like you are when you miss an opportunity, or you have to disappoint somebody, or you have to face possible rejection, because you're like, oh, I never do that. I never do that.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I always do. I always do this.
Yeah. I was thinking of a really funny story when I was in high school. I don't know that you guys came, but we were at some kind of tournament in like Aetna, or middle of nowhere. And all the girls went to this dance that they had for this tournament, and I decided to stay at the host's family's house, which now they probably would never do these type of things, stick you in some random house by yourself with people you don't know. But that's what we did, and I chose not to go because I just couldn't, it didn't feel right. It felt like, this looks like a recipe for horrible decisions to be made. And sure enough, that next day at the tournament when it was over, you know, one of these young men's highlight of his life was how nasty and dirty the Trinity cheerleaders got on the dance floor. I'm like, I am so happy to say that I was not there. I am, you can omit me from that statement. I am not, I was not present. I was playing with the ferret and watching Tarzan. That's how boring my night was.
Yeah, those are these are things I don't regret.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it is a, but I think what comes with it is like my ability to be self-aware enough. And if I go, I'm going to be so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be overwhelmed with, I don't feel good about this. And then I'm going to have to come and talk to you guys about mm-hmm. what I put myself in this situation. And how is that going to impact any other trips I want to take that I care way more about than this stupid trip? Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, it's so much of it for me was that internal, this isn't worth my risking my life.
And self-awareness is another huge piece of authenticity that that you know where you thrive, you mm-hmm. know where you struggle,
yep.
you know where you fail, you just know some things about yourself. You've grown as a person that is kind of a student of themselves mm-hmm. and their design.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, I know that I have a hard time saying no, mm-hmm. so I just won't be in that situation. Well, looky there, you know? Or I know if I get in those situations, I have to be the center of attention. Guess who will be on the table, you know? It's like, okay.
Neither of those. I would be... I would probably be more like mom trying to be the police in the room or hiding in the corner, just dying a thousand deaths. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, it was not the... If anyone from Aetna and that basketball team is listening, well, sorry again.
Yes, you know who you are. That one guy.
A long time ago. Oh, man.
I think the piece about growing authentically in self-awareness is also that the sign over your head says feedback welcome. Mm. That people can tell me without having to bring a bazooka how they're experiencing me. Because I want to know. I want to know, did I hurt you? Did I scare you? Did you feel powerless in that exchange with me? I want to know because I will adjust the dials however I have to so that that doesn't keep injuring our connection. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, I have really great information because people brought it from the outside.
Yeah.
Things I just didn't know about.
The feedback welcome sign, a lot of people think that they have that sign on.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And nobody's bringing me feedback.
Totally.
I must be doing great.
Yeah. So how do you... you know, realistically, it's you got to switch it on. But if you're used to feedback being such a aggressive bazooka, it's hard to turn that on.
Mm-hmm.
But in, you know, is it in safe environments, it's easier to turn it on? Is it personalities that it's easier to turn it on? I mean, differences there. What makes, or is it just a growth mindset of I want to keep developing, I have to be willing to put it on no matter whether it's a squirt gun or a bazooka.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything that I'm afraid of that I never confront, I get more afraid of. Mm. You know, so if I'm afraid of drowning, then I'm afraid of water.
Sure.
Which is kind of unfortunate because there's a lot of it, you know.
And it can be a lot of fun.
But if I learn to swim, I actually, you know, get in the shallow end, I start paddling around, I got my floaties, you know, I got whatever I need to keep pushing into that. Pretty soon, I'm not afraid of water anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can swim. But if I never get in the shallow end, I avoid parks. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a pool here? Oh, gather all the children. Let me transfer my anxiety to all my family. Like, okay, this is dumb. Mm. And it comes from not practicing the solution, not learning how to confront something, and then eventually realizing, oh, dogs aren't scary. That dog that bit me is scary, but all dogs aren't scary.
Yeah.
Huh. Two ways I can think of. One would be that I ask for it. Hmm. Say, hey, do you have any feedback for me? I mean, is there anything that, how are you experiencing me? How's our connection? And the other would be that when somebody does give me feedback, I don't act like a banana, you know? I don't act like a crazy person. I don't act...
I never thought of bananas as crazy, but...
Yeah, I don't freak out and get defensive
dragon
and punish
fruit.
Them. Do what?
I said dragon fruit. That's more of a dramatic sounding fruit.
Yeah, dragon fruit. I don't act, you know, I just don't lose my stuffing because you surprised me with information I did not know. Mm-hmm. I go, I consider it. I listen. I'm respectful. I'm eager to grow past my own awareness. Mm. So I become more self-aware because I let new information in.
Yeah.
So don't punish people and go looking for it.
Yeah. That's great. It does feel like the need to keep it on is really going to help you grow in that search for authenticity and self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. And the goal always is that I'm becoming more Christ-like. Mm. So I want to know, how are you experiencing me in an un-Christ-like way? Mm. That, because that's the standard. The standard isn't top salesman or super parent or rich guy or whatever. The standard is Christ-like. So that would be the constant place of evaluation and growth is, am I moving continually, authentically in my mission of becoming more Christ-like?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like all this. I like where we're going with authenticity, understanding identity, calling, mission, and then the self-awareness that's required, which is feedback, making sure the sign's on, all those things. I think that's really, really powerful. Letter A in Marvel.
Yes. And just constantly closing the gap between who I say I am and how people experience me.
Yeah. That's great. You know, I think that's the personal growth journey that everyone's on, whatever stage they're at. I think that what I hope that we're doing is kind of give opportunities for people to jump on board of, okay, this is what I'm going to choose to work on. I think a lot of times if self-awareness or personal growth is new, it does feel like it's, I don't know where to start, you know? So I think this is trying to help kind of ease some of the anxiety. Maybe just sit on the mission piece for a couple weeks if you need to, like figure out what your identity is and really dig into that and then move on to the next phase. But I feel like you're giving people really practical, helpful roadmap to where to start.
Yeah. And ultimately we'll have tools and, written materials, video, e-courses, that sort of thing that are way more structured in the presentation of this, but this is kind of an introduction.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, if you love this as much as you love the Kylo Show, we always appreciate it if you would go on to wherever you're listening and submit a review and give us 5 stars. High five.
Five. Give us a high five.
Because it always helps us. And, you know, we're just wanting to do the best we can to help people in all different ways.
And give us feedback because a sign over our head says feedback welcome. So you need us to adjust something or whatever it is, then we want that too.
Yeah. That's great. Awesome. Well, we're going to jump into questions and we'll see you guys soon. All right. Well, we're going to jump into our questions. First question comes to us from Patrick.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. Recently, I had a job interview and some of those questions. Tell us about a time when, and you have to reflect on various things when the person's interviewing you. This reminded me of a question I'd love to ask you guys, and it's a pretty heavy one. Can you let us know, both of you, from your own lives, if you'd like to share, tell us about a time when you really screwed up, you really just blew it, and how the Kylo 5 helped you in yourself and in your environment and with other people, how to bring things back into order or to recover from that. It'd be really interesting to know about that. Thanks, guys. Bye.
He did give us an out if we didn't want to tell.
All the stories I could tell are way too long, right? So I'm like, oh, geez. I do remember as a pastor, I was pastoring Mountain Chapel in Weaverville.
That was a long time ago.
This was a while ago, and Bill Johnson was the, you know, he was there 17 years before I got there. Mm-hmm. He left to Reading. I'm now the new pastor, and I've decided that I have a master's degree, and I really am not going to spend very much time getting the
sermon
license for from this particular denomination. Mm-hmm. To, you know, I'm just not going to do their online school. It's 2 years of online learning about stuff. I'm not interested in any of this stuff, right? So I just kind of fiddled and built a church and built a building, mm-hmm. a church, just put my head down and went for it. Well, I got a letter, you know, like 5 years in, got a letter, and it said, "Hey, we noticed that you kind of blew us off, so we're gonna shoot you out of the saddle. Basically, we're gonna pull your the little temporary thing I had to sit in the chair that I was in as pastor. So I'm going to lead this church out of the denomination." So I said, "Hey, they're going to get rid of me, you know, da da da. And what do they do for us? And blah blah blah, blah blah blah, blah blah blah." And all the elders went, "Amen." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I, you know, a cloud of witnesses, you know, I'm surrounded by wise counselors. Here we go." We had just one more to go, and that was Bill. Uh-huh. So I tell Bill this whole story, and he's just kind of nodding his head the whole time I'm talking.
I feel like I can see him right now.
Yeah, he's just nodding his head. I'm just, you know, I think he is like with
Payment.
Me.
Uh-huh.
He is watching me be lowered by an elevator into a hole that I've dug. And he goes, "Well, you know, if you want to dishonor all those who came before you and paid the price to hand you the favor that you have, and if you want to sow rebellion into your leadership team, then you should go ahead and do that." And I just stood there like I was naked at church. You know, I was just like, and none of my elders said a word. Not one of them said a word. They just let me stand there on fire. I'm standing there burning at the stake. And I said, well, what do I do now, Bill? And he goes, "You know what to do." I go, "I do? I don't." He goes, "Yes, you do. Repent and clean up your mess."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and there I went before the Sanhedrin, and I stood there in my tie, and I was given mercy because Bill's dad, Earl, made a call.
Oh,
and they said, "Please forgive him, for he knows not what he does." You know,
this is what we call YMD.
Young man disorder. Extraordinary.
I made my cheeks.
Okay, there you go, Patrick. Hope you're happy. And so I did. I enrolled in the course online, and 3 months later, Bill called me to come be a pastor at Bethel, and I didn't have to do it.
Yet again,
I'm out.
Totally sounds like you. Oh my goodness. But at least you were willing.
Again, I totally was willing.
It's like I ate sour candy.
You ate sour candy. That was.
Oh, that's funny. I feel like I've shared all of my really silly moments. Recent ones I talk about. I shared about Lainey blowing up the life vest, I think, mm-hmm. not very long ago. I was a mean mommy on that one, man. I've shared before, you know, in that story, pretty much just went and cleaned up my mess and apologized but I got feedback from my 13-year-old that I wasn't very, so I had the light on.
Mm.
My feedback light was on.
Mm.
You know, I get angry easily, so that's usually where I blow it, is I get angry because I feel threatened of something. I feel scared. So my scared turns into mad really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Powerless turns into look powerful.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's totally like a blowfish. It's what I look like.
I wonder where you got that.
Yeah. Yep. So don't worry, I married you. So the other person that sees it the most is Ben. Thankfully, he's, you know, throughout the years. We had probably one of the most intense miscommunications happened during COVID. I think I shared about that before on here too, but it was just, I heard the message, your job is not as important as my job. I heard that from Ben and how he was trying to communicate and trying to figure out who's staying home with the kids now for the unknown timeline and how are we changing the routine. I mean, it was just chaos. Everyone was in just chaos in that moment and trying to figure out how to do this well. And I just immediately went to the T-Rex. So, you know, I would say that, you know, I say the sorry the most to my family, to my children and Ben.
Professional apologizer.
I am. Mm. I guess that is my makeup is so much of that. But, you know, I think that I would say that it's less and less and because I choose connection. If that's one of the Kylo Five, is I've learned to choose connection. So asking better questions now instead of just being a reaction to the scared.
Just counting the cost and mm-hmm. being a powerful person and winning the battle between love and fear and Kylo Five.
I mean, it's not part of the Kylo Five, but I've learned to go see a therapist and, you know, Margaret, you've met her if you've been following our show, but she's so great at getting me to be aware of my body. Like, I'm not very good at that part. So that's probably another element that's been really helpful is being powerful really means that I'm paying attention to my actual physical body in these moments because I have really good indicator. I mean, I go flush, my heart's racing, and then pretty soon my mouth opens. No. So if I can stop it right before then we're okay.
Get that locomotive to stop.
But yeah, there you go, Patrick. You've heard all of our stories.
All right.
So well, next question.
Humiliation.
It's an authenticity week, you know, maybe it's perfect. All right, next question comes to us from Jim.
Hi. I watched Chris and Danny's video on fatherlessness, and I like more dialogue on the issue. I work in a school district as a bus driver, and the superintendent is strong on belonging with the kids and staff and the parents as well. And it's having a great impact across the district. We were all given a book by John Gordon at the beginning of the year, The Energy Bus, and it sets an atmosphere across the district that leaves room for changing the community atmosphere. This is the third school district I've worked for, and I've not seen anything this encouraging. In regard to the fatherlessness issue, do you have any suggestions for an on-ramp, not only with the school district, but with community and the local church? Help me probe this issue, please. I need some good ideas.
Feels like a great opportunity for Christian to come on and talk about
what he's doing. I was just thinking exactly.
Christian, where are you?
Yeah.
We need him in here.
Our executive director here at Living on Purpose is a guy named Christian Zamora, and he is he's taking this to heart. He's gathering mm-hmm. the fathers of his school campus to be volunteers to in essence to be available to walk around to serve wherever, whatever teachers or administrators or whatever, each dad shows up on campus for a day and they are a presence, basically. They're engaged, they're involved, and they're a presence for the kids. And I mean, I don't remember how many he had, like
a couple hundred, I think.
He had, and
he's trying to get that you only have to do it one time.
Yeah.
So like one dad for every school day. Because that's all you have to take off. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, so he has done that. I think he got close to all the days covered.
Yeah. So filled his calendar mm-hmm. with one dad a day.
Is it called Watchdogs? Is that?
I think so. Something like that. Yeah. It's a national program, but it's just so encouraging to watch a man step up and do something. Just do something. So I'm not familiar with the book that you mentioned, but I'm sure that there's things in there that inspired you and are working. And so grab onto those things and maybe build a team of other dads or men who have different gift mix. Because some people are really great on a microphone and some people are really great on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are really good with a shovel and some people are really good with money. So you want to get everybody on your team together and get ideas and then delegate and deploy.
Yeah.
I think if men will just take responsibility to heart, I think we could change the world.
Yeah. And I think the program, you know, Christian's bringing in, you know, father figures as well. So if a father is absent, it's the uncle, it's a grandpa, it's just that men presence. And he was saying that they're signing up for like the PTA type stuff. They're showing up at different things, they're doing barbecues. They have like hats and different things. And
swag. They got all the swag.
Yeah. But the, you know, he's really great at gathering people. And so he's using that gift that he has. And the feedback that he's gotten is, they've never had a response like this from men. And so it's only just the beginning. So I'm sure we'll have more testimonies as he walks this out this school year, but we're really excited for him because he's really got a great engagement. And I think, I mean, if I had you one day a year or my friend's dad at my high school or my elementary school, it would be so much fun. I mean, if Ben went to the kids' school, and all of the different dads that we knew back then, it would probably be hilarious to watch how kids would respond to having someone there.
Yeah, and if my dad's there, I'm embarrassed. But if your dad's there, you got the coolest dad in the world, right? So a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then the relationships that these dads will build, because I think there's regular meetings to talk about the process and the progress and the testimonies and find out more what the school needs, make adjustments.
Yeah.
And so this group of guys, year after year, working together, I mean, some of the most powerful influences in a high school are like the sports booster clubs. Those parents that move with their kids through the sporting commitments that they make, there'll be some parent at the head of that thing that is like the president of the whatever community. That network relationships working together, the funding that comes. One of the things Christian mentioned was that the snack shack, whatever they set up, PTO set up record sales that night. You know, the swag he had for sale, all the food, the pizza. I think they had 30 pizzas. They sold all this stuff and raised a ton of money. And the PTO was like, "Oh my gosh, we've never had anything like this. We're still counting the money back there." It's like, yeah, that's the strength of men showing up in commitment and providing, protecting, and connecting. That's the job men are called to do. So anything you can do to help host and facilitate that, check around at what other men dad groups are doing on school campuses.
It sounds like decide to have ownership.
Absolutely.
So great question, Jim. And hopefully you find the right people to help you do something explosive in the best way for the school.
Yeah, and the way that you can help a man be authentic is to set him up to be a provider, a protector, and a connector. If you posture a man to thrive in that environment, he will feel more masculine than he ever has in his life, and the community around him will benefit greatly.
Well, Jim, you definitely got my dad all excited about it.
I'll tell you what, I love this stuff.
That's not what this podcast is, but maybe another one. All right, great questions again. We're going to go ahead and jump into our testimony. All right, our testimony comes to us from Annie K.
Hi, Danny, Brittany, and Ben. This is Annie K. And I just wanted to say thank you guys for all that you are doing here in the Kylo community, for all that you've put into the resources, the challenges that you've offered, the guests that you bring on that have such wisdom that's helping to really bring transformation to so many areas of my life. I was sharing with my family recently how this community has been such a place of bringing so many pieces together of areas of my life that I know that God has been walking me through. The Holy Spirit's been teaching me and guiding me. But this has been such a God kiss of just resources, just right at my fingertips. In just about any area where I have a concern or a question, there's just more resources than I actually have time at this moment to get through. But I'm doing it. I'm working hard. I'm going through the books and the courses and these challenges, and I'm just growing and learning. And my husband and kids have been enjoying them as well and enjoying hearing me share what I'm learning in the community. And I just wanted to share a quick testimony of how the Kylo principles were very helpful in a recent situation that I had, both with my son and daughter who's still in the home. My son is 19 and my daughter's 22, and they're at that strategic age where everyone thinks they should know what they're supposed to be doing and what their future is going to look like. And right now they're pretty much in a posture of really seeking the Lord for that and spending time learning how to walk in a rhythm of rest and to just really lean into the heart of God and not be moved by what society or the world system says that they have to be doing at this time. And then as a mother, sometimes it's difficult because you want to feel like you've got an answer to be able to tell people about what your kids are doing and what their plans are. And it's really, well, right now they're just seeking the Lord for wisdom. And, you know, and it's like, that's not acceptable. It's like you have to have something that they definitely are doing and they know their plan and it's A, B, C, D, and this is what they're going to do. And so I watch them get overcome with overwhelm by not having an answer in the world. So in the home, we want to be that safe place for them to be able to explore and to pray and to seek wisdom and just seek the Lord for what He wants in their life and not try to hurry. And that's been hard for me, especially. My husband has more of a rhythm of a posture of rest in that area. But for me, the Kylo principles have really helped me to not try to fix everything, to not step in and try to overrule their will and try to control. I mean, the Kylo principles have been such an amazing reminder, and I'm constantly writing notes that the aha moments where I'm like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need to do differently. And it is so amazing when you capture that thought of how you would have normally responded in that situation. You bring those Kylo principles out of the toolbox, and then you watch your children watch you and hear you, and it's like, wow. And their hearts are so much more open to receive. I recently had with both of my children that are still at home, we have an older son and daughter-in-law who are out of the home, but this was with our son and daughter. Both recently I got overcome with fear about some areas, and I ended up saying things to both of them that were very controlling, very fear-based. And you know, it's like as soon as I got away from both of them, within just a couple of minutes, I could just hear the Kylo principles coming up in my spirit. And I went back to both of them, separate occasions, and repented and just said, asked them to speak what they were feeling, you know, what our interaction had felt like to them, how they experienced me. And they were both able to be very transparent and honest. And it ended up in such a beautiful transaction with them being able to really share their heart and to know that I was a safe place and that they could share anything and they would not be judged for it, but I would be there for them if they needed wisdom and input. So these principles have been amazing. I'm seeing them affect my relationship with my husband, my mom, my friends, coworkers. I just appreciate you guys so much, and I am with you this whole healthy family journey. I am so excited to be a part of, and I thank you so much, and I look forward to many more connections on this journey. Thank you so much.
In Jesus' name, amen.
She's very excited and sounds like she's just using the Kylo 5 in every place she possibly can.
It's working.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's very fun. Very fun to hear. Really just sounds like she's changing her posture, becoming more self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And
she sounds like a professional apologizer, too.
Yep. She is.
And all of a sudden,
we've got this in common, girl.
She's raising the awareness of what it costs, mm-hmm. and it's changing her.
Yeah. And her family, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, what's kind of fun is, you know, her kids are all, or most of them are still at home, so they're on this journey with her. So hopefully they're being exposed to and taking some of these tools with them as they figure out what their mission is.
You know, at the very least, they're experiencing what personal responsibility lives like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what, and the gap between who I say I am and how you experience me, that authenticity gap is closing to mm-hmm. whole and healthy.
Yeah.
So way to go.
Yep. Good job. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Kylo Show, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.